Interested in ghosts? UFOs? How about the occult? Are you psychic? Would you like to find out? Well, if you're intrigued by the world's curiosities and all that is paranormal, then Paralore.com is a place for you. Create your own profile, start a photo album, write a blog, or just hang out and watch countless hours worth of paranormal videos while chatting with other Paralore members. Who knows? You could win a prize or two if you're quick and brave enough. It's all here, and it's all free. Visit www.paralore.com and join today. Again, membership is free, and we know you won't be disappointed.
Paralore.com. Unlock your mind.
This is an EVP. This is an EVP. These were recorded by the Long Island Ghost Hunting Team. Light. To hear more, come listen to Light Paranormal Radio. Go to lightparanormal.com and subscribe to us in iTunes.
No, I heard a woman's voice.
You heard a woman's voice?
Yeah.
What is that?
Sound like hello.
We'll be right back. Join the three paramigos for some serious discussion of the paranormal.
He wants to know how John prepares himself for what he sees before he goes out on some of these investigations.
I just take my glasses off.
And as usual, some surprising guest.
I was going to contract the viewer of Rodney Dangerfield. Can you hear me, Rodney?
Hey, what is this place? Where am I? I need to fire my agent. I get no respect.
Some very serious topics will be discussed.
Did you ever share with everybody my nickname for you?
No. Go ahead and tell them.
Tiny.
From the serious to satire, the Three Paramigos radio program, Tuesday nights on the APEC Radio Network, 8 to 10 p.m. Central.
The Three Paramigos are we.
Ghosts fascinate so many people.
I don't know. Why do ghosts fascinate so many people?
Well, I'll tell you, Doug.
Thank you.
To answer that question, writer and paranormal researcher John Kachuba, a.k.a. the Ghost Hunter, investigates haunted locations throughout the country and interviews scores of people who have had paranormal encounters in his new book, Ghost Hunters, on the trail of mediums, dowsers, spirit seekers, and other investigators of America's paranormal world. John discovers a growing interest in ghosts today, which has spurred an American pop culture phenomenon based on the supernatural, combining his case reports of actual hauntings, discussions with leading figures in the paranormal world, and stories about related subjects. Buying ghosts on eBay. We got to talk about that one. Buying and selling haunted houses, ghost tourism. The book presents an intriguing and witty look at America's paranormal world. With that, I'd like to welcome John Kachuba. His website is www.johnkachuba.com. John, welcome to Ghostly Talk.
Hi, guys. How you doing?
Good to have you back, John.
Yeah, it's good to be here again.
You know, the funniest thing is, that I'm walking all over Doug right now, but I got to say this, man. I'm just totally stomping him down. But it's like, we saw you just last weekend, right?
Right.
At the Chicago Ghost Conference, which it was really, really, really great to meet you finally, John. It was a real honor.
Yeah, and it was fun, thanks.
And I know we talked at the table. I walked by, I'm like, John, hey, great to meet you finally, man. It's totally cool to meet you. And we were talking, and I'm like, you know, I know we have you booked on the show sometime. And you're like, yeah, you know, I don't have my calendar either. I'm like, yeah, either do I. But, you know, when the time comes, we'll be prepared. I'll let you know and all that stuff. So we get home like, this is a late week for me. Usually I send out my guests' emails like on Monday morning, like bright and early. But we didn't get back till later this week, so I think I started like Wednesday morning or something. And I looked at the schedule and I saw John Kachuba for this weekend. And I'm like, we were right. We were correct.
He is going to be on the show.
He is going to be on the show. Today's weekend. Yeah.
Well, I remember getting an email 2 months ago or a month ago.
Yeah.
And I immediately hit forward and forwarded over to Scott and said, all I said in my email was John Kachuba, and then a whole line of exclamation points.
Yeah.
Right? And then...
not question marks?
Right. No. I have to get better at typing, but no, it was a whole line of exclamation points.
Yeah, okay.
And it's all it said, and evidently the magic happened.
Yeah. Well, John, we've had John before. We had a great time, and you know, this new book you've just put out. When I read this bio on the book, I was like, oh, God, we are going to talk like maniacs.
And we're really glad that we had it written down, whereas at the conference, Ursula remembered all the one word, I think it was.
Right.
She
right.
did it by heart, yes. Which was pretty
That
cool.
was impressive.
That was really impressive.
It was really impressive.
Do you have the longest title of any paranormal book?
I tried to. I tried to have the longest title in the world.
You did pretty good. I think it definitely says a lot. And I think, of course, the key phrase is on the trail of, because that's what you did. You essentially tracked down all kinds of different people in the paranormal field.
Yeah, yeah.
And just found out what they did, asked some questions, got your own case histories to help populate this, and you just tried to figure out what is this phenomenon, and I'd like to know what it is too, because we started this thing 6 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
We're in our 6 year of broadcasting, so six. You know, 5 point something.
5.732 4 7.
Right, and we were in it, a little bit before that as well.
Yeah,
but we've always been interested in the paranormal.
Yeah.
So there's got to be other people like that, like us, where it's like, you know, we're always interested in the paranormal, and suddenly it's everywhere on eBay, on TV, in the DVD section, and the horror films are getting more and more supernatural. I mean, 13 Ghosts. I mean, and ever, you know, other things, The Ring, and all that.
Yeah,
so
yeah.
They're all becoming more supernatural and paranormal. And what is the cause of this? Are we reaching 2012? Is that what it is?
Is this what's going on?
What's happening?
Well, you know, it's funny, the question, are we reaching 2012? Well, you know, we are getting closer to that time.
Yes.
I mean, there could be something to that. But, you know, I think that there is a huge interest in this stuff right now. And I really think that part of it has to do just with the times we live in. I mean, this is, you know, pure theory and my philosophy only. But I think when times are not that good, and when people are sort of disappointed or disillusioned, and I'm thinking for the last 5 or 6 years, and you guys started your show 6 years ago, in America, you know, living here the last 5 or 6 years, we've had a lot of, you know, hard times. I mean, without getting totally political on the show here, I mean, you know, it's hard to be an American these days and feel good about yourself. And this is my personal opinion.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people feel that way. And I think so when times are like that, I think you start looking for things outside yourself. You know, a lot of people turn to religion and start going back to church and look for answers there. Some people turn to excessive golf, maybe, you know, I don't know, you know, but I think a lot of the whole sort of new age stuff, if you want to call it that, takes a big increase. You know, people start doing, meditation more and start doing, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah.
And so I think an interest in the ghosts, works with that. I think people are looking for something outside themselves, something better, something sort of to believe in. And, you know, this whole quest to prove ghosts exist. I mean, think about what happens if we do conclusively, absolutely prove that, yes, ghosts are there.
Mm-hmm.
Well, then, man, I mean, that means, you know, without a doubt, there's an afterlife, there's another world, there's something beyond. That gives a lot of people hope. It gives a lot of people inspiration. So in a way, and I don't want to make this sound, you know, so wonderful, but in a way it's almost like a religious quest for some people.
Yeah.
You know, looking for something. And so I mean, this is all theory and my theory. So you can put a line of question marks after my theory if you want, you know. But to me, that's what I think is going on, because certainly, you know, folks, ghost stories and belief in ghosts and ghost lore and everything else has been around with us since man walked upright. You know, it's not anything new.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in times of stress, you know, and bad times, it takes a big hit up. I mean, look at the spiritualist movement. That really came into flower during World War I for the most part, you know, with all the bloody death and destruction and everything else. And next thing you know, the spiritualist church was spreading like wildfire around the world, because wouldn't it be great if you can talk to your loved ones who you lost in the war, you know? So, I mean, I think that's what happens.
Well, in times of... Well,
actually,
ahead.
I think the spiritualist movement was a little bit preceding World War I, wasn't it?
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. It started, like, what, 1850-something with,
right,
with the Fox sisters.
Yeah, yeah.
But when the church really... When the spiritualist church, as a church, actually, you know, took off and everything, I think you'll find that it was around that time, around the early 1900s or so.
And that very well could be, because, I mean, obviously, you know, news... spread slower back then. You don't, you know, you don't get it as a text on your cell phone in
the
late 1800s, early 1900s. Like beep, you know, oh, stock market's up, and oh yeah, spiritualist movement just happened.
Yeah.
You know, they didn't. So news would travel slower. Plus the you know, it would take time for people to actually you know, invest, and so I imagine it may have been around World War One, and that very well could have been a good catalyst for the huge upswing in spiritualist churches and the whole spiritualist movement.
Well, another good example, it was worldwide.
Too.
Another good example, I think, also, and Amber and I were just talking about this the other day. Back when we did start this show up, for example, and I'm not saying we're like pioneers, you know, we're here before you all, you get out, you're a bunch of losers. No, what I'm saying is that
we were actually really lucky about
that. Yeah, we're really lucky, yeah. But I know, and so does Amber, because she's been doing this for a while also, that back when Ghostly Talk was in its infancy, there's only like a handful of ghost hunting groups in Michigan. And my point being is that Michigan right now, if you look at the news, national headlines, Michigan is in dire straits right now. Everybody seems to be losing their houses right now. Nobody can keep a job right now, it seems like. I mean, everything is just going to hell in a handbasket, to be blunt. There's a lot of problems in this state right now, especially in the Motor City area where there was a lot of work. Okay, and now we notice, and this is just an outside type of theory, but now I think we counted like 25 to 30 ghost hunting groups in like maybe like the 50 to 100 mile radius of where we're at right now.
Well, other things have happened as well, not just the economy of Michigan.
Yeah.
I mean, also the publicity on eBay.
Well, that's part of it, too.
Or on eBay, on TV. Yeah, eBay.
They're pipping those guys, though.
Yeah. Michigan sucks. At eBay.com.
Join a ghost hunting group.
Well, you know, it's funny you say it, though, because, I mean, I live in Ohio, and like Michigan, you know, we're the Rust Belt, right?
Yeah.
I mean, you know, Ohio had a lot of automotive industry.
Yep.
And steel and all this stuff, and it's all gone now.
Mm-hmm.
And we're the same way. It's very depressed. The economy is bad, and Ohio's got a ton of ghost groups. You know, so yeah. I mean, I think there's something to it.
Well, it's a part of it. I mean, I don't say. I mean, it isn't the whole thing, but I'm saying.
Right.
I mean, people are in dire straits, and I think honestly, and I know this is from personal experience. When you get into a desperate situation, desperate times, when you feel like, oh my God, there's no solution. You turn to spiritualism kind of quickly. I think a lot of people have, and I'm a victim of that too. I mean, because you want answers. You want to know if it's going to be okay. Sometimes, I mean, I'm grown up now. I'm a little older. I know things are, I don't need to turn to things so quick. I think, you know, Doug and I, especially from our experiences on the show and our work in the field, you know, we know things are not quite that simple. They're different. But I think a lot of people and younger people, they just go, oh, man, I need answers. I need something, right? There's got to be something out there. And there is the paranormal out there. And this is just a theory also, like you said, John. But, I, you know, it may be part of it. And, Doug, you said also the publicity that's out there. There's a lot of publicity on this stuff, too. So that may
be. And it might be because the infrastructure is here now for the publicity.
Yeah.
I don't
know.
Because there's, you know, the internet, there's the many, 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 many cable channels and things like that.
Mm-hmm.
So there's maybe maybe it is like a whole bunch of things just sort of conglomerated together.
Yeah, it's a lot of different reasons, not just one.
Well, this is part of what I talk about in my book in Ghost Hunters, about how everything is sort of feeding on itself. You know, you mentioned TV shows and publicity and everything. And, yeah, I mean, there's a million programs on TV. There's a million movies out now. There's, I don't know how many people besides myself now are writing ghost books. I mean, there's dozens of those flying off the shelf, you know, every day. Radio shows, like you guys have been around 6 years. That's a long time, but you're right. These things have proliferated. Podcasts, radio shows. Just the fact that we're talking about being at a ghost conference last week. I mean, who would have heard of a ghost conference, like, I don't know, 5 or 6 years ago? Now there's one every weekend someplace in the country.
There is.
Yeah, we know. Yeah. We were to all of them.
Yeah, we went to all of them.
every single one of you guys. Yeah, I know, and it's amazing. I mean, and I actually think this is really all good for the paranormal community because, you know, you're putting a spotlight on this. Everybody now is willing to, I think, you know, talk about ghosts, talk about their experiences when, you know, maybe 10 years ago, you wouldn't say anything about it. You'd think, well, people think you're crazy. I don't want to talk about ghosts.
Yeah, yeah.
And people say, oh, yeah, I saw a ghost. I had one in my house, you know, whatever it might be. And so I think all this stuff, all we're talking about, the ghost tours that every little town and city has, you know, I think all this is good because more and more people are getting interested. Now, they're not all going about it in a serious way. You know, some of them are just having fun with it and everything. But still, the fact that they're thinking about it, thinking about the paranormal, I think means that there'll be more and more people involved in more serious aspects of really trying to study it. And, you know, we might start getting some answers maybe a little quicker, putting some things together.
Well, I think that's entirely true because, you know, there's a lot of ghost tours. And as a matter of fact,
how many celebrities have we had on the show? And I'm not saying how great we are, but I'm just saying, how many celebrities have we had drop on the show, though, and tell us their own accounts? And these are people who are put under
Snyder himself.
Yeah, yeah. These are people that are put under a microscope every minute of their life, and they're willing to come on a show. I mean, we're not huge, but we got like 10 people listen, I think.
Right. We had a dozen, I think, one week.
Yeah, we had a dozen. It was a sober week that week. But I mean, these people are coming on here, and they are under the spotlight, and they're more than willing to tell us their experiences too. I mean, and that says a lot for nowadays, because I know 10 years ago, like you said, John, it was such a taboo topic back then. It's a lot less taboo now.
Sure, sure. I mean, in my, you know, in the three books that I've written over the last 3 years, I've probably interviewed, probably close to 300 people or something. Now, they don't all get in the books, but, you know, I've had conversations with people, and the people that I'm talking to who are relating experiences to me, you know, they're not what the average person might think, oh, yeah. These are kooks, you know, they're out there, the tinfoil hat people.
Yeah.
No, I mean, I'm talking to, I'm talking to police officers, to clergymen, to nuns, to professors, to judges, airline pilots. I mean, people who you would think, first of all, have to tell the truth. Like, you know, a nun should probably tell the truth. It'd be nice. You know, and people who you consider to be sane, rational, logical thinkers. You want your airline pilot to be that way when you're flying cross country.
Mm-hmm.
So yet these people are, you know, will tell you with a absolutely straight face that here's what I saw, here's what happened to me, I believe it, I know it's happened, and I have no reason to doubt them, you know. So
I have no reason to doubt anybody that tells me a story now.
Well, you know what's interesting? We were just talking about this just before we came back to talk to you. One thing that you don't get from books other than on the dust jacket is a picture of the author who writes it.
Oh my God, I am. Okay, go for it.
And I was just saying, when we met you last weekend, you look like, you know, like either the insurance salesman or the loan officer at the bank or the, you know, you look like a business person.
Don't hang up on us, please. I didn't say it, John.
God, the insurance salesman.
Don't tell me nobody's ever said that.
Well, okay, this is a holdover from my past, okay? I mean, I was in business for many years before, you know, turning to writing full time. So, okay, that's a holdover.
And you look like a business person. You look like somebody who, you know, who has, you know, all the same issues. You don't look like, you know, you're not like wearing feathers, you know, sticking out of your head with beads and stuff like that. You look perfectly, you know, Ohioan.
Oh my God! Can you generalize any more, Doug?
No, that's as much as I can go.
John, are you still there?
So,
yeah. Well, I'm debating where I'm going to stay on.
And, yay! That'll be a first for me. But no, I think that so you really. But I'm using you as an example, of course. As an example that the people who I've met.
Mm-hmm.
At the paranormal conferences I go to,
yeah,
which are many, people and conferences both.
Yeah.
And the people that I've met, I would say maybe, you know, 5 to 10% of them I would figure are pretty kooky. Okay. But the remaining 90 to 95% are everyday
go to work,
people
do your things,
who do the stuff, and they're all interested in the paranormal, which is absolutely fantastic and fascinating.
Right. I mean, I know what you're saying, and I think that's true. But that actually is something that was a surprise to me when I first started writing these books and first started getting around talking to people, because I kind of thought the only people I'd be talking to were the ones with the feathers in their hair and, you know, all this kind of stuff. Because I thought, well, those are going to be the only ones that are going to have any kind of ghost stories and, you know, they'll talk to me. And that has not been my experience at all.
Mm-hmm.
Like I say, I talk to average run-of-the-mill people every day and they've all got stories. And again, the fact that they're willing to talk about it just tells me how mainstream the whole idea of the paranormal, a belief in the paranormal, an interest in the paranormal,
yeah,
has become. And like I said in the book, as you guys mentioned, it really, I think it really has become part of American pop culture. I mean, I think it's, you know, I think it's solid now. I think it's there. And
yeah,
people say, oh, no problem, you know.
Yeah, and it really has. I mean, and who knows what's going to happen for, oops, sorry, Doug, further down the road here. I mean, you know, what I've been saying to people a lot lately, and because we've been doing interviews and stuff, especially around this time of year, we do a bunch of interviews and whatnot.
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of a slow year for that, though. Come to think of that, yeah, whatever, we'll talk about that later. But anyways, like, the number one question is, like, you know, where do you see the future of the paranormal going as far as, like, you know, the big pop interest right now of it? And I'm like, well, in a couple of years, I think a lot of it's going to taper down. A lot of it's really going to drop off, right? And that's really has to do with the media, in my opinion, as far as
it
big
comes
media
and goes in cycles.
It comes and goes in cycles. And the people that really are into it and who, you know, this is their life, this is what they do, this is their passion, this is their hobby, and they take it very seriously, they'll always be here. They'll be doing their work.
Right. But what's interesting is with this groundswell of interest, we're very fortunate because, like you were saying earlier, John, it will attract people who are going to do some real serious research.
Yeah,
for,
yeah.
Dr. Rourke is one of them.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, Dr.
Rourke. He's like, you know, suddenly I can, you know, look into this and not be
ostracized,
you know,
by people. Exactly.
Right, and still keep my job and things like that. So he started studying in his case, you know, Spiricom and ITC.
Yeah, yeah.
And trying to figure that out, which, thank heavens.
Because we need people like that. We need good minds like that doing this stuff, I think.
Right.
It's really, really important.
And there are going to be others who will remain, you know, after it becomes, you know, less cool or whatever people are thinking about it right now. There will be others who remain who will be doing hard research and science.
Definitely, definitely.
Oh, is this it? Is this break time?
Yeah, why don't we take a quick break, John? This is fascinating. I don't think we've really ever talked to anybody tried to tackle this subject the way you are right now. And I know I can just feel the excitement in the room because I think we have some opinions ourselves on this.
Well, yeah, it doesn't seem that way, doesn't it? You know, I do want to come back. When we come back from break, we have to talk about, there was one thing on the list of topics to discuss. That
I know, absolutely. We do have this list and we haven't even looked at it one time.
I know we, but we do have to talk about the poltergeists on eBay. We have to.
We got
to
talk about that.
That's the big.
That was coming.
That is the big, big, big one, and okay, that'll be after the break. So hang out.
We'll be right back.
Radio.
The Internet's only rock and roll paranormal extravaganza.
Special guest with us, Robbie Thomas, psychic medium. Where is the Lawrence House?
It's in Ontario, Canada. It is a house that was owned by a shipbuilder, and it was haunted. The tools of the trade back then were baby powder. The reason being is I could see, and the kids with me couldn't, so I figured if I threw the baby powder in the air as the spirit was walking through, it would cover it, and then they could say, oh, we see it now. The next tool was a flashlight, so we knew where we were going, and a rope, so we could tie it around so we don't get taken away by the spirit. So that was me.
Isn't that what your last girlfriend said?
that's just a Friday night for Anthony. Baby powder, a rope, and a flashlight.
Para Hub Radio, Thursdays, 10 p.m. to midnight Eastern, on Bounce Radio and parahub.org.
There's no flowing gown. There's no crystal ball. There's just me, Christy, psychic medium. I'm a spirit medium since the tender age of 3, and I'm dedicated and passionate about my work. I perform all my readings with honesty, integrity, and the other side has a sense of humor, so I use that too. Let me help clear the cobwebs of confusion in your life. At some point in everyone's life, direction is needed, and I'm here as a friend and as a counselor to help give you insight. I do instant message readings, email readings, phone readings, and if you're in the Michigan area, I do in-person readings. Visit my website at www.tangledwishes.com.
I just want to thank you for this sweet Ghostly Talk t-shirt, man. When I put it on, women just start coming at me from all directions.
Well, no problem, dude.
Oh, yeah, and check this out. I had this rash in my chest for like 3 months, right? The first time I wore this Ghostly Talk t-shirt for the day, I took it off before bed and the rash was gone.
Really?
Yeah, dude. I also worked at a job interview I had last week, and not only did I get the job, but the boss liked it so much, he made me his partner.
Huh?
Yeah, and I'm now a millionaire because of your Ghostly Talk t-shirts.
Well, you know, we not only have new t-shirts for 2007, but Ghostly Talk also has a brand new line of bumper stickers and 1 1/4-inch buttons.
You're kidding!
No, sir. You can check them out and also find out how to order them at ghostlytalk.com.
I must go and order all of them now!
Whoa, hold on. Save some for the rest of the listeners. As you can see, Ghostly Talk swag is going fast, so head on over to ghostlytalk.com and check it out. T-shirts, bumper stickers, and 1 1/4-inch buttons, all for a very cheap price. Order yours today.
listening to Ghostly Talk with your hosts, Doug and Scott L.
I know it's that popping, too.
I don't know what it is.
I think just because we haven't been here in a while, and I plugged everything back in, I think everything's a little hot right now as far as those signals are concerned. So I think we'll fix it.
Excellent.
Hopefully it isn't too bad. This is Ghostly Talk. I'm Scott L.
And I am Doug.
And we are talking to the wonderful John Kachuba. Are you still there with us, John, or have you left us?
I'm still here.
Oh, thank God. Your website, of course, is www.johnkachuba.com. That's JohnKachuba.com.
We were talking before the break about... you really can't put a title on it, really. It just, it comes up so much on the show, really, in little pieces. But now we're really getting into the meat of it, I think. And that is, you know, American culture and how it's really locked on to the paranormal here. And John has went as far as to write a whole book around this, which I think is absolutely just wonderful.
And refreshing.
God, is it refreshing.
And, of course, when you talk about American culture, you cannot get away from eBay.
Oh, God.
I wish you could, but you can't.
I wish we didn't have to mention it, but we have to.
We have to because, you know, that's where you could buy the,
some guy sold his soul on there a couple of years ago.
Right, you could buy a soul, you could buy all kinds of things. Well, but one of the things that you found out was that some lady wanted to sell, a bag of poltergeists. How do you do this? How do you verify that you have a bag of poltergeists to sell? Did eBay evidently let the auction go through?
Well, yeah, I mean, I don't know what eBay's rules are and the restrictions. I mean, I thought that they did check on some things and would not allow some things, but apparently they're okay about selling poltergeists, which I find interesting. This woman, this is in Ghost Hunters, this is in my book, I have a chapter called Ghosts for Sale, and I talk about some of the sort of oddball things that are out there on eBay, and this woman had an ad on eBay that she was selling two poltergeists, and the way she described it, she said, you know, two poltergeists in a shopping bag. And I thought, well, that's interesting, because, you know, you really shouldn't put two poltergeists in one shopping bag.
They'll fight.
They don't like that. They just don't like it.
You
know? Yeah. But I mean, so she was selling two poltergeists in a shopping bag is her description. And I looked at the auction, and when I saw it, there was a bid for a penny. And I thought, well, that's a good opening bid, good solid bid there, you know. I checked back with her later on, and apparently it never got over a penny. So that was the title value. That was the entire value of two poltergeists in a shopping bag. But I called her and I asked her what she did. You know, I said, for a penny, you know, what did you do? Well, she said that she called the person that won, the winning bidder, or actually the only bidder, I guess,
right,
what it was. And she called him and she said that I spoke with him and I wasn't at all convinced that he knew how to take care of poltergeists. So she didn't send them to him simply because he didn't know how to take care of them. And you think she would, like, send a how to care for them manual with them in the bag. I mean, it's probably room.
Well, yeah.
I would probably
throw it in there with, I mean.
I would pay 100 times the penny bid for a manual on how to care for poltergeists.
So would I. I take a hit of 100 times a penny.
100 pennies, yes. And, I think she should sell the manual rather than the bag of actual poltergeists.
Well, what surprises me the most about this, John, is here we go. We have the proof in two of them
in a bag
for a penny. And we have all these people out there running around cemeteries, buildings, houses, you know, haunted train stations, whatever you name it, trying to find these things, right?
Uh-huh.
And the lady has it here on eBay, and it's only for a penny.
eBay.
I'm surprised it wasn't run over with one ghost hunter after another trying to get a hold of this. It really.
Well, there was also the real ghost in a jar.
That was $10. Very famous case. Yeah.
$10.
Yeah. Uh-huh. $10 when I saw. And, the ghost of the mother-in-law from hell for 99 cents. So, I mean, there's great bargains out there, you know.
But there's one thing that's not great bargains, though, are the haunted paintings. Yeah! Those things are going insane. Wow. Or at least they did at first. I don't know if the haunted paintings
That was a couple years ago. I remember we talked about that, I think, on the air. Was the haunted little kids.
Yeah.
And it was a creepy-looking painting.
It
was a creepy-looking painting, and they said it was an actual haunted painting, and they wanted a substantial amount of money for
that. I don't know if it sold or if they got the opening bid or if they got the... I don't know the complete story, but I do know that the haunted painting was a huge topic.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Talking about eBay, though, you guys might be aware of it, but I actually put something on auction on eBay myself.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
Yes, you did.
It was my Ghostmobile. And the funny thing is...
Well, I don't like was. I don't like the word was in there.
Well, it was because the auction was... was completed Halloween morning, and all the proceeds were going to UNICEF. You know, all the 100% of the proceeds were going to UNICEF.
Mm-hmm.
And the people that actually bid on my Ghostmobile, my '87 Buick painted over with ghosts and tombstones and everything
else,
were from Texas, and they were actually here this afternoon in Ohio with a pickup truck and a trailer. And I bid goodbye to my Ghostmobile with tears in my eyes as it's making its way south to Texas now.
That is awesome.
You know what, John? I don't know if we can talk about this later on or not, but I'd love to talk to those people. I mean, we'll see later on. We'll fire some emails back and forth, but maybe we can get those guys to come on and talk about their win. I think
they'd probably be happy to do it. You know, and I said to them, so are you going to paint this over or anything? And they said, heck no. We wanted it like this, you know. And it came with, there was also a set of my, all my books, you know, autographed. And,
right.
And these people were, you know, obviously they were paranormal enthusiasts, and they were very excited about getting the car, especially for $202. I mean, the car runs well.
Mm-hmm.
So anyway, I bid goodbye to my Ghostmobile today. But I do have another item on eBay. I have an autographed collectible Ghost Hunter books. All my set of my books are on there now, autographed.
So
that's on till 9:15 tonight.
Oh, well, everybody, dial up Satan's other website.
Yes,
and
both of you, get on
who are listening.
And well, mom, go to
eBay.com. Well, after you were done with your discussion last Saturday at the Chicago Ghost Conference, I had to grab you, John, because I know I saw pictures of the car before, but you were talking about it live right in front of me, and I'm like, John, come here, and you're like, what's up? I just got done with the gig. What do you want? And I'm like, okay, listen, what year was that car? You're like 1987. It was a Buick, right?
Yes, Buick Skyhawk.
Okay, yeah, I wanted to make sure because that was an '87. He had my first real car, and this is kind of creepy in its own right because my first real car I ever had was an '85 Buick Skyhawk, the same deep, ugly silver, grayish color that one was, right? And it's kind of a sad story because I actually inherited that car. My Uncle Wayne passed away, mm-hmm. and that was his car, right? And my grandfather, my grandfather talked to me, and he's like, your Uncle Wayne loved that car, and I think he'd like you to have it, And I actually took that automobile, and it was, needless to say, it was pretty beat up. My Uncle Wayne didn't take very good care of his automobile. He loved his automobile, but he didn't take very good care of his automobile at the same time. And I actually spent
call that tough love.
I actually took that car and spent a whole summer on it. And I basically restored the whole vehicle to the point where I did all the sanding work. I actually took the door. I think I told you that, John. I took the door off an '84 Cavalier.
Right, I remember that.
Yeah. In the junkyard. Me and my dad went to a junkyard, found the door of an '84 Cavalier. Because those J-body cars from back in the '80s, you could switch them all. There was like the Buick Skyhawk, the Cavalier, the Chevy Cavalier, which is my automobile of choice now. There was a Cadillac made in the tent back then at a small compact car, and it was called the Cadillac Cimarron.
Mm-hmm.
And God, what else? The Pontiac Sunbird, right? So all these cars could switch parts around. So we put an 84 Cavalier door on there, and I actually went and remodeled the whole car and had it repainted like bright Flexer white. And it looked great for a couple of years until the rust came through again.
Right.
But, I mean, I saw that car, and it just tugged at my heartstrings because, I mean, I spent 3 years in that car. And that was my first, that was my baby, that was my car I started out on. So I'm glad to see that the spirit of the Skyhawk lives on somewhere or another, and it was through you, John. So I'm glad that you auctioned that off, and we got to get a hold of those people, I think, to actually.
Well, we could probably set that up, I'm sure.
I think we should do that. I think it'd be hilarious to talk to these people, and I want to see pictures of this thing. I want to see it in action. It does run, I assume, right, John?
Oh yeah, I mean it runs pretty well. It only had like 112,000 miles on it.
Those cars would run pretty. I think I blew like 3 head gaskets in my car. I'm not kidding you. I did. We had to fix it. Do it twice. Me and my dad fixed it ourselves, which a head gasket job is a major. That's major. Like that's rebuilding the engine. That sucks, but it was terrible.
Oh,
but,
yeah,
I had it. That car is awesome.
Found its way to tech. Well, that's interesting because the death squirt.
Yes, we have a car.
This is my car.
That lays in ghostly talk lore forever now.
Yeah, we have the Death Squirt, and it went down to Florida, and I heard now that it's back, but
Back in Michigan?
Yes, and I haven't seen it.
This is the car that Doug and I met when I met a ghost hunt back in the day when we first met and started hanging out together. I nearly got killed in this car several times.
Yes.
We actually found a hornet's nest in the back where, the hatchback of the thing. Remember that, Doug?
Hornets moved in, yeah.
Yeah, we were in front of my parents' house.
Yeah, your parents' house, yeah.
And we flipped open the hatchback, and there was a hornet's nest right there. And my dad was like, why is there a hornet's nest in the back of your car, Doug?
You know, they moved in, and I wasn't looking.
So these haunted automobiles
they're
like
squatter
this.
Squatter hornets.
Yeah, they moved in.
They just moved in.
They're all bum hornets.
That's it. They weren't paying me rent or anything.
How did we get to this?
I don't know. Cars.
But no, that's it, that you sold the car. That's totally great. I know you mentioned that last weekend at the Chicago Ghost Conference, and I'm glad to see it moved to some good hands, probably. So we'll have to give it.
Yeah, I'm sure they'll be fine in Texas.
But no, there is this thing though, and going back to what we started with here, this segment was just that there are these weird auctions, and you went out there and checked these things out, though, John.
Right, for that chapter.
Yeah, just.
But you know, there's something to that too, though, that I don't really touch on too much in the book, but maybe should have. I don't know. But, you know, there is a theory for a lot of people that sometimes, you know, spirit will attach itself to something inanimate, you know, like jewelry that's been passed down for generations or some old piece of furniture or something like that. And, you know, you hear stories about people going to antique stores and buying an antique wedding ring or something like that. Something with emotional, you know, value to somebody at one time.
Yeah.
And they'll bring it home, and next thing you know, they've got, you know, something else brought home with them. So there might actually be something to haunted items. I mean, I kind of make light of it in the book, and obviously a ghost in a jar and poltergeist in a shopping bag. I mean, you know, you can't take those folks seriously.
Yeah.
But on the other hand, you know, you wonder about some other things and the possibility of inanimate objects being haunted.
Ever since we talked to John Zappas for the first time, I won't go into an antique shop anymore. I won't do it, because John Zappas has a whole museum on his property of haunted
items.
Right.
Yeah, that's a good point. I mean, exactly.
And I won't go to I used to love to go to antique stores and check out, you know, weird old stuff like that, and I won't do it now. I'm scared if I buy something, I'm going to bring it in the house, and all kinds of weird stuff will happen.
And there's a story, a famous story, but I of course, don't remember the details, I never do, of a ghost town in the Upper Peninsula of Michigan.
Mm-hmm.
And in one of the houses, abandoned houses, is a chest of drawers. And this chest of drawers is thought to be haunted because they've moved it, you know, to different places. And the same phenomena happens wherever this chest of drawers is. So I don't have a reference, I'm sorry, but I do know that that's a relatively famous story. So.
Yeah. So this stuff does happen. There are a lot of haunted items out there, I think, too, that people, that spirits attach themselves to, possibly, and it wreaks havoc on people sometimes, too. It's a very interesting idea to think about, too. And like I said, John Zappas, we're going to hopefully get out there next year and check out all that stuff in his haunted museum. So,
oh, in Connecticut, good.
It's definitely a real thing. I won't go to antique stores anymore. I will not do it anymore. So, yeah, we have to watch out. I mean, The thing that really freaks me out about the eBay thing, if there could be any other way to freak you out.
Than buying something on eBay? Although, no. I know a lot of people who do. I've bought things on eBay.
Well, no, I've bought things on eBay.
I was on eBay looking. I'm looking for a pair of pants with Mr. Peanut on them, like sleep pants or something.
What?
I have to have this item. It's an item that is evidently one of a kind because I can't find it anywhere on the internet. But there are some pajamas of some sort with Mr. Peanut. That's what I'm looking for, and I'm going to have to dig through eBay. Anyway.
Yeah, let's really move on.
Is that on the radio?
Yeah, yeah. Definitely move on.
The
Doug, you take over.
Did you go to Moundsville?
Yes, I've been to Moundsville.
One of my favorite places ever is Moundsville Penitentiary in Moundsville, West Virginia.
Yeah.
The West Virginia State Penitentiary, mm-hmm. or whatever they call it, in Moundsville.
Yeah.
And it's one of my favorite places, and... I've been there several times,
mm-hmm.
and one of the things that I've never done is look for a headless inmate. But in your book, you do. What happened?
Well, actually, that never got into the book.
Oh, it didn't get in the book.
Well, how'd that go?
In your book, you don't. I'm sorry.
No, it's okay. It got into the press release about the book.
Oh, that's where
it hence it's on our notes.
That's how it got on our notes. Okay.
Yeah, I know. No, it's fine. I mean, I did go to, I went to Moundsville with a group. Actually, I live in Athens, Ohio, and that's the home of Ohio University.
Yes.
I teach part-time at the university. I teach some writing courses there. And a bunch of us from the university went over to Moundsville. And it's, I mean, look, you've been there, as you mentioned, so it's mm-hmm. it's a really pretty pretty grim place, you know. and there is a story about a headless inmate, and he was apparently, you know, killed by other people, by other inmates, I guess, and they literally, you know, cut his head off. And supposedly he's seen out in the yard, but I never actually got the Moundsville story into that book. It's probably going to be in my next book, so I didn't talk about it. But I also didn't see it. But I'll tell you, during our visit there, mm-hmm. We did record an EVP, which was really pretty cool. Myself and two other people were in one of the cell blocks, and I don't know if it was a north cell block. I can't recall which one it was. But, you know, we're walking around, everything else, and you can hear our voices very clearly. One is a woman, and there's myself and another guy, and our voices are very different. So, you know, you have three very distinct voices.
Yeah.
And you can hear our footsteps banging on the grates and the metal grates and all stuff. But then you hear another voice come in at the end of it, and there was, like, I mean, there was nobody in that cell block. And I wasn't expecting this. What I normally do, you know, when I'm doing something like this, is I just take a small tape recorder. I stick it in my pocket, my shirt pocket. I just let it run. I don't pay any attention to it. So most of the time you hear myself talking, you know, or talking to people. And so I was just playing this back, thinking I wouldn't get anything. And all of a sudden this thing comes across. And I tell you, you know, the hair stands up in the back of your head because you go, who is that? You know?
Hell yeah.
And I played it back for the other two people that were with me. And they got really creeped out. They all said, well, that was none of us. And there was only the three of us in that cell block. So, yeah, it's a very interesting place. And it's Moundsville's getting more and more popular, too. More people are going out there now.
We were just out there a couple months ago, as a matter of fact. Well, back in June. Well, it was June we were out there.
Mm-hmm.
Had a phenomenal time. And we actually got an EVP out of there also. We talked about it the week after we came back, that we recorded some strange stuff out there, too. So,
okay.
But yeah, we love going there. I can't wait to go there again. We're going to probably go this probably in 2008. It's a yearly trip now for us. So.
I think so.
But,
I think it is.
You know, the one thing we should, because we only have a couple minutes here, though, John, and I want to ask you the same question that's been asked to me so many times in support of this book. Where do you see this whole thing of the paranormal?
Turnabout is fair play. That's awesome. That's yeah. We get asked this all
yeah, I want,
the time.
But, I mean, John's the man, right? I want to hear what he has to say.
You studied it.
I think there's still room for growth. I think you're going to see it increase even more. I do think one of you mentioned something earlier about the TV shows and all that stuff.
Yeah.
And I think part of that's going to die out. I mean, you know, TV after a while, It's going to be saturated. It's already getting saturated with these ghost stories.
Good. So,
yeah. Well, I mean, it is, right?
Yeah.
And so within another year, you know, something else, there's going to be, you know, a big interest in hamsters. And there's going to be all hamster programs. and the ghost programs are going to be off the air.
Hamster hunters.
Hunters.
Yeah, maybe it'd be, you know, haunted hamsters. I don't know.
Oh, God, no.
So I'm thinking all this is going to... So I think those things are going to die off. But having said that, I do think as a result of all the increase that there is now and the interest now, that, you know, there are going to be a lot of people who are going to take this seriously. So I do think more people will be involved in it. I think greater work will be done, more serious work.
Yeah.
And that's kind of the important thing here. So I think that's going to happen. But I do think that some of the TV shows will go by the boards, you know. Hopefully none of the radio shows, hopefully they'll all be out there.
Well, the thing with our show, John, and this is why I love to tell people about Ghostly Talk, we're self-financed completely.
Yeah.
So we will go away when we want to go away. So in answer to that, we're not going anywhere.
We're self-produced, independent.
Well, yeah. No, you know, 6 years is pretty good longevity, you know, so that's a good record.
Yeah, we haven't killed each other yet, so I'm pretty proud of that.
Right.
That's good. That's a plus. But then you'd have a real ghost on the show.
Well, that would be interesting. Ghostly Talk with your ghost.
Yeah. But no,
I think it's going to go. I think it's going to continue for a while. I don't really see... Yeah, you know, I think for a couple of years yet, at least, we're going to continue to see this kind of strong interest in it. So that's good for me. You know, good for you guys. You know, we all benefit by that.
Well, it's good to see. You know, it's good to see everybody out at the conferences. We've been saying, and we've been pushing it hard this year. We were really promoting the conferences, and it was great to go out. And it's really wonderful to go out and see all these people out at these things, and see the excitement, and see these people talking and conversing and sharing evidence with each other, which is the number one thing. I think that's the biggest gripe between ghost hunting groups right now is that nobody wants to share evidence anymore, it seems like. And I'm seeing people share and get out there and network and talk to each other, and that's just wonderful. And that's what Ghostly Talk's all about, is getting out there and unifying this thing. That's so great. So.
Well, and I think that's the important thing. I mean, you know, I think there's no reason to feel proprietary about anything like, oh, you know, we learned this stuff, so you can't know about this information. I mean, that's not going to work. I think the more that we share stuff, the more we tell each other how we did things, you know, where good places are, what we've learned, then the faster we're all going to find some answers. So,
exactly.
Sharing is what it's all about.
Exactly. John, don't leave us just yet.
Okay.
We got to close the show out. And why am I talking so low?
I don't know. It sounds really, really hot.
You like that, don't you?
your website.
Thank you, everybody.
From when we were talking to Ron, we're going to have to look in each other's eyes after.
We're doing that right now.
Yes, we're doing it now. And
look into your eyes.
We. This is really bad.
Yeah, this is horrible. Yeah, I agree.
John, your website is www.johnkachuba.com. That's JohnKachuba.com. We'd like to thank you for coming on the program and for writing that book, because
God,
glad
so
someone
good.
Looked into it. Thank you.
Thank you, John.
Well, thanks so much.
Thank you so much.
I appreciate being on. And, it's good to see you guys in Chicago. Maybe we'll see you next year.
Yeah,
I hope so.
Hang tight.
Hang
don't
on
leave
the
us
line.
Just yet.
Hang on the line. I'd like to also thank Ron Amatron of creationlightship.com. Run together with no spaces.
I got to go to the bathroom again, too, speaking of which.
Well, whenever we mention Ron, you're...
My bladder
now.
Just goes, Ron.
Yeah, it's a trigger now. And Ron Amatron, creationlightship.com for what an hour. I that was amazing. And thank you to Tom for allowing us to call him and bug him.
He was enjoying his cigar.
Yes, while he was attempting to enjoy his cigar in peace, and we bothered him, but he gave us a great, great thing about Spooktacular. Coming up next, of course, everywhere is so many different shows. I can't even.
We got to get a list or something.
Straight,
we'll have to get a list, I think.
I'm spending this upcoming week with Sean, the Ghost Man.
Super secret location.
And I will be in a super secret location broadcasting from next week. So
yeah, I'll be
be here in the.
I'll be here in the winery broadcasting per usual. It's good to be back.
And I will let you know where I am next week when I am there.
But we're back home now. We're going to be home for a while, thank goodness, and get some rest here. So it's good to be broadcasting in for you guys, and hopefully we'll stay here. Nothing comes up on us where we have to travel anymore for a while.
Not for a while, anyway. A few months. Anyway, thank you, everybody, for listening. This has been Ghostly Talk, and I've been Doug.
I have been Scott L.
I need to go someplace where a man can think.
Become the media.